streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best Of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd, wishing you the happiest Thanksgiving weekend and happy holidays, right? There are so many of you who, when do I start with the holiday thing? When do we do the lights? When do we do the tree? Now's good. I mean, not right now. Right, not right now, but now. Big day, obviously, in sports with the U.S. men's national team taking on England. But in a plot twist, we have something Monday in sports now, which we have been waiting basically since Perestroika. I don't know if you guys are aware, but do I do Iran or do I do Iran? Like, which do I don't know if I don't want to sound disrespectful, but I also don't want to, like, fake it and do the Iran. But anyway, apparently Iran beat Wales. So if we win, great. It's a huge win and we advance, very likely advance. If we lose, kind of doesn't matter. It becomes a win and you're in against Iran on Monday. And yeah, I'm not sure if you're aware, but like, I mean, not since the breakup of the Soviet Union, as a perestroika is, have we had like a mortal enemy in sports, in anything like competitive that we can go against. Like, we couldn't do the basketball thing against, I mean, if you want to say China, like, it's not, but soccer is something we should be much better at, but we're not. But we should be better than Iran, and they're kind of the underdog. On the other hand, we want to eliminate them, beat them. Anyway, all right, there's your soccer talk, okay, because I'm not going to fake it for you here. I have my catalog of sports takes and knowledge only extends so far. You know, I look at us in soccer and I think, it's Texas football the past, you know, since the Mack Brown era started to fade, right? Since Colt McCoy got hurt in the national championship game, where there's no excuse for us being this average at best in soccer, considering we have 350 million people in a country that cares about sports and youth sports. Outside of that, I'm kind of fresh out of sports takes, of soccer takes. But I got football takes for you. I got hoop takes for you. A lot went on yesterday. Three games. All were relatively close, right? I mean, even the Lions game as Buffalo. I mean, the big news out of the Buffalo is that Von Miller got hurt, and there are fears for the worst that it could be an ACL tear. We'll see. There's the MRI set for today. If we get information, we'll keep you updated. That's the probably the big news out of that game. The Cowboys look good. There's no other way around it. Danny Dimes looks competent. The Giants are competitive, but the Cowboys were the better football team. They're physical on both sides of the ball. Zeke looked good. We know they have arguably the best player in the sport, which is Micah Parsons. And Dak looked good. It was a good competitive football game, although I can't stand those Cowboys uniforms. I just can't. I get that they do all these uniforms to sell them, but who's buying that? You know? I feel like on Thanksgiving, you want to, it's just like when somebody comes in your home, like that's the weekend you bring out the best china, right? Like, why are we bringing out these nice plates? Because it's Thanksgiving, that's what we do. Like, you have bowls in your house that you never break out except for yesterday or except for this weekend. Some people do Thanksgiving, you know, throughout the weekend because, you know, you go to one family one weekend, another family, you know, it's so many different family dynamics these days. So there is an element to it where you put your best foot forward. If you put your best foot forward, you're the Cowboys. Why are you wearing those awful throwback jerseys? Those are bad. Wear your whites. Wear your cowboy whites. And then, of course, you have the nightcap. Now, there's a lot to get to. Okay? But I think, wait, there's news on Von Miller. This is from Ian Rappaport. Sources, Bill Starr, pass rusher. Von Miller did not tear his ACL. There is concern about his lateral meniscus, though. He's out at least a week or 10 days until he figures it out. He'll have surgery. The question is now or after the season. This is following the MRI today. Okay. So, again, without the MRI, they don't believe he tore his ACL. They do believe he tore his meniscus. And I am not a doctor. I am not professing to know anything about the inside of his knee. But I have been through the process of being told you have a meniscal tear. It was misdiagnosed. I did not after the MRI. Not the point. Point is that at that point in time, I educated myself through the help of my team doctor that there's different types of meniscal tears. You know, some that you can just go in and just cut off like a fraying edge, and that's the ones where you're back. You can be back in a week, back in 10 days, back in 2 weeks, or whatever. There's the, if they have to go in and stitch it up, which is healthier for your knee long term, now you're out, I think it's 4 to 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks. So if, fingers crossed, it's not an ACL tear, Von Miller will very likely play this year when it matters, and that's what he's brought in for. He wasn't brought in for yesterday. He's brought in for January and into February. All right, let's get to the nightcap, which was the most entertaining game of the night. All right, here's the thing. Not only do I not know what a catch is, I don't know what a touchdown is. Do you? I still, Hunter Henry, and the worst part about it was, I read an article earlier today where the head of officiating used the complete control all the way to the ground, which, and he used it yesterday after the game, and that hasn't been part of the rule book since 2017. So I don't know why. I mean, I get the ball moved, but this idea that the ball moved, did anybody think that Hunter Henry didn't catch that football? This is like the old common sense thing. Did Hunter Henry, did he have possession of the football when he caught it and it passed the goal line? Of course it did. So my argument would be, and again, I understand, my argument would be like he caught the ball, then he extended it past the goal line. If that's not making a football move and control of the football, I don't know what is. And, you know, all the way to the ground is no longer part of the rule book. Did the ball move? It absolutely moved. Does that mean he lost control when the ball moved? Didn't appear that way to me. But my big takeaway remains this. And I said this in the preseason. You can go back and watch clips of the Doug Gottlieb show on Instagram at Gottlieb Show. We put it out on Twitter. We put it out across social media that you had all of these people, many of them quality, smart football people, questioning, why aren't you naming an offensive coordinator? And, oh, yeah, by the way, your offensive coordinator is probably going to be Matt Patricia, and he's never called plays before. And their preseason looked like an abject disaster. And there were times this year where they looked, they looked, especially early on, like a bit of a mess offensively. When you watch the Patriots play last night, granted they lost the game. Granted they lost the game. I feel like so many people owe Bill Belichick an apology. And my point then was the same one I'll make now. If we would all agree that whether you think Brady was more responsible than Belichick, we'll get to that in a second. But we would all agree that Bill Belichick's an outstanding football coach, correct? Okay, so you haven't agreed with all his decisions. Not every person he's put in place as a coach has been perfect. But generally, over the past 20 to 25 years, the guy's teams have won. It's like we make this thing about, you know, how, oh, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. How's it been since? Whereas Bill Belichick, it wasn't just that they lost Brady. Remember, they had eight guys who opted out during the COVID year, right? They had terrible. And then, so they basically spent that year in cap hell, took it on the chin, remade their defense, drafted Mac Jones, and went to the playoffs. You're not going to compete for a Super Bowl every year. So we'll get to that element too in a second. But my point about Brady then is the same about Belichick then is the same point about Belichick now. Everybody agrees he's an incredible coach. He's an innovative coach. He understands the game. They're the best at the waiver wire market, right? And finding guys somebody else's trash is almost always their treasure. How many times has that happened? And yet, this decision, the offense coordinator with a young quarterback, you assume the old man's lost his mind or he's an idiot. Like, no, Bill Belichick remains the greatest coach of all time. And I watched their offense last night, and Mac Jones looked good enough, and Matt Patricia looked good enough. Tales of Bill Belichick's demise have been greatly, including by our good friend Colin Cowherd, greatly exaggerated. Yeah, it's fair. The Dolphins have better skill position players. It's fair. The Buffalo Bills have a better quarterback and better skill position players. And they're a better team. But considering you're in, inarguably, the toughest division in football, and you're right there. You're right there. I'm watching thinking, why hasn't anybody offered up an apology to Bill Belichick because so many of you thought, old man lost his mind? Here's a Vikings. Did you guys see the picture of Kevin O'Connell when he's with the Patriots? Did anybody else think his helmet looked out of whack? Like, we forget that during that era of the Patriots, the logo, the Patriots logo was too small and it made the helmets look way larger. It looked like he had a gigantic head, didn't he? Here's Kevin O'Connell on the win.
We got to continue to improve and try to show up each and every week with purpose and not need to have setbacks to find our best. And I think that's what we're going to need to do as the season moves forward and hopefully on into January.
Here's Belichick on the Hunter Henry touchdown.
Did you get any explanation on the Hunter Henry catch that was overturned?
Why don't you guys go to the officials with your pool reporter and ask them about the play and let them explain it to you, right? Like, isn't that what you do? Thank you.
By the way, the Vikings completed 81% of their passes. That's the second highest completion percentage for the Patriots under Bill Belichick. The only game higher completion percentage was versus the Dolphins, who completed 85.7% of their passes back in 2008. Defense wasn't good. Offense was plenty good enough to win. And, oh, yeah, by the way, even with that, should have been a touchdown there, and the Vikings' touchdown, the kick return, was a blatant, obvious hold, I guess, unless it's not called. My takeaway for the game, like, yeah, the Vikings bounced back, and Kirk Cousins played great, great. Justin Jefferson, you know, he is the Micah Parsons of offense. He's probably not going to win the MVP, but those are the two best players right now in football. Hell, he threw a seed in the first half. But the tales of the demise of Belichick and the idea that he has some sort of idiocy in you know, appointing Matt Patricia's offensive coordinator. I get it. You didn't like Matt Patricia when he was with the Lions. I don't. That's not why they lost the game last night. All right, coming up next here in the herd. OBJ heading where and why? Is adding OBJ actually a good thing? You know, because everybody says more is more. No, wait, they say less is more. We'll dive in next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant, players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb in for the Herd. Happy Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving. You know what? Merry Christmas. We're okay, right? The Merry Christmas thing is weird. Not weird to say Merry Christmas to people. And by the way, I'm Jewish. I've never understood people who are like, well, I'm Jewish. You can't, like, Merry Christmas is just like, hey, I hope you're having a good Christmas season, right? It's not, but the Merry Christmas thing, it does feel like Thanksgiving the same, where there's a little Price is Right to it. You can't go over. Right? You wouldn't say Happy Thanksgiving, like, well, Thanksgiving was yesterday. Like, okay. If I wished you Happy Thanksgiving the day before, like, that's okay. But the day after, it's not. That's weird. Merry Christmas is the exact same way. So, because we have not yet gotten to December 25th, Merry Christmas. Ben Bolin joins us from the Boston Globe. He covers the entire National Football League. For a long time, covered the Patriots as well. Ben, do you want Happy Thanksgiving or Merry Christmas? Which would you prefer?
Yeah, please don't ask me about Thanksgiving. Whatever you do, it's gone. It's in the bank at this point. We are not talking about Thanksgiving. We are on to Christmas.
We're on to Christmas. Like, listen, everyone has their own takeaways, but in last night's game, and I do want to talk about, I thought at least one blown call that went the Vikings' way. But I remember having a discussion with you on my show about this really weird thing the Patriots are doing in not naming an offensive coordinator. It felt like Matt Patricia was calling plays, and there was talk early in the season of, well, I don't know if Mac Jones is actually the guy. I watched last night, and I felt like it was a good offense. The play calling made sense, and he looks like a pretty good competent quarterback who did throw the ball downfield fairly well. Like, tales of the demise of the Patriots offense, I felt like, are greatly exaggerated.
I would agree with that. And even when they were struggling earlier in the season, they had some positive moments. They were getting, you know, like yards per play and some of those stats. They were actually doing okay. And I think Mac Jones's ankle injury in week three just kind of set everything back. You know, when he got the job back 4 weeks later, they were just, I think, starting over from scratch. And look, the Vikings last night with their 31st ranked pass defense, definitely a feel-good night for Patricia and Mac Jones. Very impressed with the opening drive. The Patriots entered last night. They're the only team in the league who hadn't scored a touchdown in the first quarter. They come out, zip, zip, zip down the field. Mac is pushing it, big plays. So, you know, it's a great start for them. Like you said, Mac Jones looked like a competent quarterback. He threw for 382. I mean, some of that was padded at the end. But Mac,
sure,
he looked pretty good. But there's a big but. I mean, they're still dreadful in the red zone. 0 for 3 again. They're 31st in the red zone this year. And they turned into a puddle in the fourth quarter. I was a little concerned that the game's on the line and Mac Jones and the offense couldn't do anything last night. So, yes, a better night, but they still have a lot to prove that they can actually win these games in the fourth quarter.
Wasn't that a touchdown? I mean, I don't know. I know the ball moved, but the ball technically hit the ground, but his hand was under the foot. Hunter Henry's hand was under the football, and while it moved, he had it secured. It's like, if you move it, you naturally roll and secure the football. Again, like, now I don't know what a catch is. I don't know what a touchdown is.
Yeah, it was tough. I guess the referees determined that he hadn't made a football move yet when he was still coming down with the ball and reached across the goal line, and that the ground caused the ball to move and for it to pop out. I think it was very close. I wonder if they should have given the ball to the Patriots at the 1 yard line. If maybe the ball popped out, but Henry caught it again and was down at the one, instead of just wiping the whole play away and calling it incomplete. Look, I hate to be the guy that complains about the officiating. The Patriots have definitely benefited from a lot of close calls over the years. And to me, only losers whine about the officiating. But my beef with that play last night is it's got to be clear and obvious, and that is the NFL standard. And to me, if a replay decision takes more than like 30 seconds, you got to keep the call on the field, because we can't go frame by frame with this stuff. And, you know, they're calling it too tightly. It's got to be like 9 out of 10 people at a bar agree that the play's got to be overturned. And that one clearly I think there's a lot of controversy. So that's my only beef, is that I thought they overturned a play when it was not clear and obvious what the result should have been.
It was clear and obviously a hold on the kick return as well, wasn't it?
I would agree with that. They missed the hold on Kyle Duggar. But again, there were 10 other players on the field that could have made the tackle. So I don't want to make excuses for the Patriots. That was the first touchdown they've given up on a kickoff since C.J. Spiller did it in 2010. So it's been a while since the Patriots got hit for one of those. Yes, definitely holding, but there were other players on the field who could have made a play.
No question. But Duggar's job is to set the edge, and he couldn't set the. And they're like, well, he got and you know, people killing him didn't set the edge. Like, well, he didn't set the edge because that guy's got his hand wrapped inside his right shoulder pad. Like, that was. I agree with you that there's 11 other guys, but that was, you know, that's one of those you don't always call a hold, but in this particular case, it dramatically affected the play.
Yeah, and look, I thought the crew last night, this is not one of their better performances, and they're not going to get good marks for this game. They missed, like I said, I did not agree with overturning that play to Hunter Henry when it wasn't clear and obvious, and then they missed not only that hold on Kyle Duggar, but they missed an obvious face mask on Mac Jones midway through the fourth quarter that would have given the Patriots new life. So not a banner moment for the referees. Absolutely, 100%. They need to do a lot better, too.
All right. I mean, I guess the rest of the day, the games were at least competitive, right? The rest of the day, the big news was what Von Miller, which we now learned does not appear, still an MRI today, to be an ACL tear, but multiple reports are now there's some other damage to the knee. What are you hearing in regards to Von Miller and when we can see him back in a Bills uniform?
Yeah, I'm just seeing the reports like you are, and not good. I mean, the early analysis from a lot of the medical community was that Von Miller suffered a significant knee injury. Now, whether it's a fully torn ACL or you know, other, there's several other ligaments in there as well. It doesn't sound like good news for the Bills. You know, they're keeping the broad time frame of it could be a little bit of time. It could be season ending. It shows you they're keeping things close to the vest. It sounds like they're holding out hope that maybe Miller can make a return late in the season, maybe a playoff stretch run like what he did for the Rams last year. But this is a devastating injury. I mean, he was the guy they brought in to be the closer, to be the guy who could get Patrick Mahomes in the final minute of the playoff game. And for him to now go down in crunch time of the crucial stretch of the season, that's a big blow for the Bills defense. It felt like his injury yesterday really took the wind out of the Bills' sails. You know, the Lions really came storming back, and the Bills pulled out the win, but that was a lot closer than it had to be, and they just didn't have a lot of life for a while. It felt like they knew that the Von Miller injury was pretty serious. So that's a big injury that could, I think, really affect the balance of power in the AFC.
Ben Volen, join us. Doug Gottlieb for Collins, the Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeart Radio app. Happy Thanksgiving. You don't allow me, we're on to Christmas. Merry Christmas to you. Just hope you're having a great time with your family, enjoying football, soccer, hoops, all the different sports that are on today. I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by this Jeff Saturday thing. I wasn't one of these guys that says no way, this has no chance. You know, you talk to anybody in the NFL, they'll all tell you the smartest guys in the field are not just the quarterbacks, but the centers. And the centers are usually slightly less athletic than every other offensive lineman, but they have to have great skill, great intelligence, and, you know, they're bridge builders on many ways. We're 2 weeks into this grand experiment in Indy. What are the returns from the people you talk to?
I think Jeff Saturday has been fine. That was a nice win against the Raiders the first week, and then they came back to earth a little bit against the Eagles, but still gave, you know, the best team in the league a run for their money. You know, Jeff Saturday is set up for success, but let's not forget the reason the Colts are competitive again is because they went back to Matt Ryan. The whole thing, I don't think anyone who looked at the situation rationally ever doubted that Jeff Saturday is a very smart guy and could probably handle being a head coach, although being a head coach is really about the offseason and training camp. Like, this now is the team's almost on cruise control a little bit. But what I hate about the Saturday hire and what's so offensive is it's cronyism at its finest. It's, as Joe Thomas said, it's Jim Irsay hiring his drinking buddy. The NFL is trying so hard to get opportunities to minorities and to people who haven't had these chances. And for Irsay to just, I don't know, the whole thing is just a slap in the face to give a guy like Saturday with no prior coaching experience to just give him this platform as an interim head coach. Irsay is clearly rooting for him, wants Saturday to do well, wants to give him the job. You know, the Colts have to satisfy the Rooney rule when they open up the job after the season, but who's going to want to interview for this job when they know that Jeff Saturday has it in the bag already? And I just, it's, you know, the Fritz Pollard Alliance is right to question how this thing came about. And I just, it's a slap in the face to what the NFL is trying to accomplish with its diversity efforts. And it's a slap in the face to the coaching profession for all these guys who put in a lot of work and are trying to rise through the ladders to see Jeff Saturday just get the job because he's Jim Irsay's buddy. I just find the whole thing.
I'll push back. Carolina hires a guy who had been in Carolina. He was a year head coach in Arizona. It was an abject disaster. I watched that Arizona Cardinals team play in person. I actually called one of their games and played. Abject disaster. Mid-season, you have to hire somebody who has complete knowledge of everybody. He didn't unseat, outside of play calling, anybody who was in the building, right? So, I mean, you'd rather hire a John Fox who's a massive retread? That somehow satisfies you?
That's how interim coaches work. I mean, you're talking about Steve Wilkes. He was inside the building.
Yes.
They fired Matt Rhule. That's what you do. You elevate the guy inside the building to get you through the season. Steve Wilkes, meanwhile, who has two very good wins.
Listen, hold on. Ben, hold on. That's how it works most places. It doesn't have to work that way. You know, it doesn't have to work. And in this particular case, you brought in a guy who knows everything inside the building and yet doesn't have to unseat anybody in terms of positional wise. And if anything, whether he maintains the job, doesn't maintain the job, he can give you Irsay a clear look. And by the way, the old hiring people, you know, that happens all over football. It's not just coaching. It happens with players and coaches all the time. That's business. That's how business works. And I understand that's what the Rooney Rule is trying to help, you know, expand the spectrum of candidates. And that's really, really smart. But, I mean, like, look, players follow coaches wherever they go. Why? The same sort of relationship. So I think the idea that you want to use cronyism somehow is only in effect in this particular place. Like, why do you think they brought in Carson Wentz last year? Because he had a relationship with the former head coach who had been his play caller. That's the exact same thing.
Okay, but you could bring Jeff Saturday in as a consultant and no one would bat an eye. And no one would have bat an eye if they had just promoted Gus Bradley or John Fox or even, you know, the special teams coach, Bubba Ventrone, to be the interim head coach. But to just give Jeff Saturday this platform, and yeah, he's an interim head coach, but he gets to be in front of the media 5 days a week. He gets to prove himself on the job. When was the last time a black coach with that little experience got that type of opportunity? And you talk about he didn't jump over.
Wait. So if there's
they fired Marcus Brady to clear the way to get Jeff Saturday's job. The whole thing was gross.
Okay, so if there is a, I mean, like, they've had Tony Dungy as their head coach. They've had, why am I blanking on his name? He's really respected.
Jim Caldwell.
Jim Caldwell has been making it about race when it's not really about race. And the idea, he hadn't put his time in, put 14 years of his time in as center. Like, I'm just going to disagree with you and tell you that I think trying new ideas, it's a lot like the Belichick thing. Right? Who does that? Who names Matt Patricia the offensive coordinator without having any sort of experience? Why, by the way, why is Matt Patricia in New England? Because he was there before. His relationship with Belichick, and Belichick, even though he was a disaster as the head coach in Detroit, trusts him and gave him the reins to an offense. It's not any different. And I just chasing it in regards to race and fairness. Like, look, Irsay is the owner, and I actually think he might have found a gem in what he found in Saturday. That's my takeaway on it. Let's talk coaching. How safe is Brandon Staley out with the Chargers? Because here they are sitting at 500 and holding on to hope of the playoffs. And I know, like, I'm a Charger guy. I know they've had a litany of injuries. But, I mean, there are plenty of teams that have injuries that have been able to survive. What's his status year two in L.A.?
Yeah, it's a great question. Actually, I'm doing a little column right now looking at who I think the coaches are on the hot seat, and he's one I've definitely got circled. Now, I like Brandon Staley. I think he's a good leader. I like the way he comports himself in press conferences. I like that he is aggressive and goes for it a lot on fourth down. But, man, I think they're wasting Justin Herbert by having a defensive-minded head coach. I think they got to go get a young hotshot offensive coach to really maximize what they've got in Justin Herbert. And to think that last year they could have had Brian Daboll and instead they chose Brandon Staley, man, that's a tough one. That's a big what if. You know, they had Brian Daboll running that team with that quarterback right now. So the buyout with the Chargers and Staley's contract maybe might save him for another year. But they spent a ton of money this offseason, and they definitely expected to be a lot better than 5-5. As you said, they've been hit hard by the injuries, but they're just not maximizing their talent, and they're still 29th in points allowed, despite Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson, and Brandon Staley is obviously a defensive guy. So I think he's squarely on the hot seat, and it's got to be tempting for the Chargers to go out and get a young offensive-minded head coach to pair with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, it's been disappointing. I mean, J.C. Jackson was so bad. Then he got hurt. He's out for the year. And obviously not having Bosa hurts you as well. But, you know, at some point, you got to get stops. Maybe not against Mahomes, but you got to get stops. Speaking of Mahomes, you know, look, we all regard Brady as the greatest of all time and Aaron Rodgers incredibly talented, maybe most talented of all time. But you're watching Mahomes once again put an MVP resume together, a team that loses Tyreek Hill and now continues to compete and looks like they'll get to somewhere in the at least AFC championship game. Am I getting ahead of myself by thinking we might be watching the greatest to ever do it?
Well, I think yes, because the reason Brady's the greatest is not necessarily the stats, but championships. So Mahomes is obviously off to a great start with one Super Bowl and two appearances, but he's got to keep it going now. If anyone can do it, it's him. He's unbelievable. The Chiefs are almost a boring pick this year. Same old Chiefs, but yeah, they're number one in scoring. They're number one in the AFC. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL down the stretch. That's the other thing. They still have all these games against the sorry AFC West teams, two against the Broncos. So the Chiefs are locked and loaded. Also very impressive, as you said, they got rid of Tyreek Hill. And Patrick Mahomes has equaled his number of explosive passes from last year, but he's done it in about 250 fewer passing attempts. So he's on point. Travis Kelce, unstoppable. You know, with Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kelce, the Chiefs are really going to be tough to beat. And especially if they get that first-round bye and home field advantage, like I said, it's not the most exciting pick because it's the same old Chiefs. But, man, they are just rolling once again and I think look like the clear favorite in the AFC.
Ben Volen joining us from the Boston Globes. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeart Radio app. The Rams went for it last year. It looks like, are they going to shut Stafford down for the entire season?
It maybe wouldn't be the worst idea. If he's dealing with some sort of neck head concussion thing for the second straight week, Cooper Kupp is out. I mean, this is a team that just fell apart this year. It seems like they sold their soul to the devil, and now it's come calling. It was a weird offseason with Stafford and his elbow also. You have to consider that injury. So maybe, you know, we are pretty close. Like, this game against the Chiefs this weekend was supposed to be the premier matchup, you know, on the NFL calendar. The last time these teams met, it was 54-51, and now the Rams, unfortunately, just haven't held up their end of the bargain. So it seems like Cooper Kupp is probably going to be done for the year pretty soon if the Rams don't turn things around, and it wouldn't be surprising to see the Rams do that for Stafford, if nothing else. I mean, the guy deserves a break. His body has taken such a beating, and it would definitely be in their best interest to make sure he's healthy and in a good place mentally and physically next year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip.
The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb for Colin. This is The Herd, Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. Still do a little college football talk, some good college football games going on right now. Darrell K. Royal Stadium. Bijan Robinson, whoa. I don't know if any college player is worth a Lamborghini, but if there any, because Robinson has a Lamborghini, but if you've watched him play so far today, you're like, yeah, maybe. There is, like, and I want to, it's interesting. I got a chance to go to Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Bedlam last Saturday. I've been to several college games, and I think, look, if you listen to me long enough, you know that I was against NIL, not because I didn't want guys to receive any sort of payment for their time put in as college athletes. I actually value the scholarship, the college experience, everything else that you get. I guess even getting into a college that you normally couldn't get into. I mean, I know that myself. Like, I went to Notre Dame my first year. I couldn't have gotten into Notre Dame as a regular student. That just wouldn't have happened academically. So, you know, I value all of those things, I think, above what media and social media value them. But the other part to it is, I mean, when you watch all of these broadcasts, what do they all have in common? You know, almost all of the commentators, the analysts, are former star players. And, you know, spending time in the Sooner State this week, so many of my friends who are former athletes are in medical device sales, right? And what is medical device sales other than the relationships they create with doctors? And it's not that they're not working, but the reason that companies like a Stryker wants to hire so many people that I played with or played against is because they know that in those areas, their name is synonymous with success. And their name, image, and likeness has value. And that's where it's the whole reason that you put in the time there. But the NIL stuff there's been a good side to it. Okay? I think it's awful to throw money at recruits. You look what it's done to A&M. You look what it's done to Miami. That part they're going to have to figure out. I still believe that you should have to play at least a season before you're able to benefit from your name, image, and likeness, because, well, that's when your name, image, and likeness actually has value. Anyway, but the number one pro, you know, into the pros and cons, is it keeps, I mean, look at college football. Running backs, they're basically like a one-and-a-half contract career, you know? I mean, Christian McCaffrey didn't get hurt at all his first 3 years in the NFL. Gets the biggest contract you've ever seen, and, like, I think they got a chance to win a Super Bowl, but anybody would argue he hadn't lived up to that contract he got with the Carolina Panthers. And if that's a guy who's never been hurt, how about all these other guys? What NIL does is it positions that are no longer as valuable in the NBA and NFL, it keeps those kids in school longer and gives them like a job that is somewhere in between the level of, and sometimes above the level of, what they'd be making professionally. I mean, there's a reason that small guards and the Drew Timmies, all the big guys in college basketball that don't have a potential landing spot in an NBA starting lineup or maybe even an NBA rotation, they're going to stay. The same thing for running backs and some of these quarterbacks in college football. And then there's Lane Kiffin, who told his team that he expects to be back with Ole Miss. And this is after a week of wild speculation where he came out and said, hey, I've already had three contracts. I expect to have a fourth with Ole Miss. And there was a report that he was going to be the next head coach of the Auburn Tigers. Of course, Auburn takes on Alabama. Cadillac Williams is their interim coach. And it's actually been great energy to watch Auburn play. But I think this part is truly fascinating because Lane's telling the truth. Because what happens is your season's over last night. They lose the Egg Bowl. Crazy game. Agent calls him today. There's going to be offer from Auburn. And he expects Ole Miss to come close to matching or to improve his deal. As he knows, he's going to be with Ole Miss. But if Auburn blows Ole Miss out of the water and Ole Miss says, you know, we're good, well, then that changes. That's complete honesty. I just don't know if everybody's ready for it. All right, coming up next, the Cowboys win and Jerry Jones going to meet with OBJ, but is more actually more? That's next. I'm Doug Gottlieb. It's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What up? Welcome in. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day. Thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb in for Colin Cowherd. And we got a great couple of hours for you leading up to our U.S. national team in 1 hour taking the field against England. This is a personal revolt, right? It's a personal revolt because we don't call it a pitch. So, like, again, help me out with this one, Jay Stu. I'm struggling here. Like, if we're going to call it a pitch, right? If we're going to call the your soccer cleats boots, like, don't we have to then call soccer cleats boots? and then call your uniform a kit? Like, how can you go? It's a real weird thing to just pick out one word that, okay, now we're going to do the European soccer talk and use their decisions. Like, now are elevators lifts now? Help me out here.
I kind of like it. I kind of like that we've taken our own vernacular. It's soccer, and you play with cleats, and you have uniforms. And we're not going to be very good at your sport, and we don't care that we're not good at your sport. I kind of like that attitude.
Well, no, I don't understand the halfway thing, right?
I get it.
I don't understand, you got to call it, it's a pitch. Well, no, it's a field. No, it's a pitch. Soccer, it's a pitch. No, in European soccer, it's a pitch. Okay, but again, why did I go halfway? That's like when we look at the Bible. It says in the Bible. Are we going to use all that says in the Bible or only the part that we like in the Bible? I really agree with that part of the Bible, so that's the one that – it sounds cool, so that's the one I'm going to use. I say this because I'm wearing cloths of two completely different fabrics, and I don't want to be stoned when I walk outside this room. I do not want that to happen. Anyway, enough Bible talk, enough kit talk. Okay, so help me out here. So here's the way it stands as of now. Right, so we tied with Wales. England, which I'm still super confused by. Like Wales, you want to talk about Wales having it both ways. In the Olympics, they compete as Great Britain, right? They compete they don't stand on their own. Only in soccer, which they're good at and passionate about, do they compete on their own as a nation? That doesn't make any sense. No sense at all to me. I really, really don't get. Now, should we be better than a country of, 5 million people? Yes, we should be better than a country of 5 million people. Don't give me the, they train from, we can't have a team of dudes that train from birth? I don't know. But I don't understand the Wales thing. I don't, sometimes they're with England, sometimes they're not. In international competition, I don't get that one. Anyway, they lost to Iran earlier today, which sets up, this is what we've been waiting our entire lives for. Because you think we have rivalries in football, right? Giants and Cowboys, good rivalry. Now Commanders, and everybody, that division, always good rivalries. And, of course, this is rivalry weekend in college football. We had the Egg Bowl last night. You have the Iron Bowl. You got Notre Dame SC at the Coliseum. That should be a great one this weekend. I got my picks 5 for 5 upcoming later on the show. But nationally, Russia was exposed as juice heads, so they're not really. And since the breakup of the Soviet Union, they haven't been able to be truly competitive in basketball, which felt like that's our sport. That's one we could have a rivalry with. So we haven't had any great international rivalry. I think we can all agree Iran is it's the perfect mark. Now, England could be a great rivalry. They've been classic, hyped up, I guess, underachievers internationally in soccer for a long time. And we did break away from their country. And there was actually a war between us, but it was over 250 years ago. So I don't know. But, England and the U.S. is a lot like Alabama playing Georgia, right? Where, Kirby Smart once upon a time was at Alabama, but he came back home to Georgia, and now they're in many ways better than Alabama. I don't know. That's probably the easiest parallel I could make. But the idea that the match with Iran is everything to us, and it is Iran, which is a natural political rival right now, a religious, in many ways, rival, a fanatic rivalry. Who can't get behind that one? The only problem with the Iran thing rivalry is we're used to being David and everybody else being Goliath in these big soccer matches. And I'm not going to say we're Goliath, but we're definitely a prohibitive favorite over the Iranis, aren't we? Jay Stu, more fired up for today or for Monday in terms of soccer?
Definitely the one with Iran, especially after I read the details of what this Wales loss does. It's basically we beat Iran on Tuesday, regardless of what happens today, and we move forward. And by we, I mean us, USA. What you just said about the political rivalry and all that stuff, I think that's what a lot of people don't want to get into, right? I think there's a lot of people that are like, look, leave that the political stuff out. This is all about the pitch. It's all about the sporting competition. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it's all about the pitch and sporting competition. Who are we kidding? I mean, think back to our childhood and some of our favorite movies. I mean, Rocky IV. Huh? If I could change, you could change, we all could change. Right? Remember that? Or Red Dawn. Did you watch the remake of Red Dawn?
I never got around to it. No.
I didn't either. Wolverines! Like, Red Dawn was everybody's fear if you're a child of the 80s. Right? So I think, yeah, you can't avoid the political stuff. You can't avoid the religious fanaticism stuff. Right? It's Iran. Like, it's not really... It's not controversial to say that they have supported terrorist organizations that have done and wanted to do harm to the United States or to our allies. This one's an easy one. This one's a layup. It's not like I'll give you the example. It's not like you have to do what the Washington Post did, digging up history on Jerry Jones. You know, Jerry Jones there's a Washington Post story which had a picture of him during a protest at North Little Rock High School. Which is part of, I think it was called the Little Rock Nine, is when they integrated the high schools there. And an ugly scene where they're shouting at a young, I think that picture was a young black male. He's going into the high school. And Jerry Jones, who yesterday said, like, it was out of curiosity, he was 15 years old. But the bigger thing was, like, it was 65 years ago. And yet Jerry in some levels, it's what you have done since and what you have learned from that time. It did feel like a hit job. It did. Especially because there's lots of people who have said lots of things that they don't like about Jerry Jones. Too involved in football decision making, you know, gets too in love with his own players, overpays guys, Ezekiel Elliott, who actually looked very good yesterday, by the way, in their win. But of all of the rhetoric about Jerry Jones, no one's ever said, you know, he's actually a racist, you know? And it the lack of context provided in it and understanding of, like, again, maybe actually it's the perfect thing. That's the snapshot of where we were as a country 65 years ago and where we are now and how crazy the growth has gotten. And there's obviously still more room to grow. I look at it as, you know, that picture of the evolving man. You guys ever seen that, where it starts as the it starts with, like, you're like hunched over, and then by the end the male is standing up completely. You know, it's evolution of man as a poster. Like, we're all like that, and none of us are, what is it, Homo erectus? None of us are standing up straight. We're all in various parts of our evolution as a human being, and as a country, we're not completely evolved, but we're kind of getting there. And then we de-evolve at times, but generally we're on a path of being better. Here's Jerry Jones on the win yesterday.
And Jerry Jones told us, he talked to Odell today. Do you increase the recruiting pitch this weekend?
He talked to him today? I'm sure Jerry did a great job of it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going to enjoy this bye weekend, maybe send a message or so, but I'm confident in the guys we have. As I've told y'all, it would help, obviously, having a guy like that, but we've got some great players in that locker room.
I mean, Dak is so good. He's so good at handling the politics of this thing, you know, because what you say, remember, like, everybody always thinks, well, you know, you add another guy and suddenly now you rule the world, but you add a guy. Now, what does that do to Michael Gallup's reps? What does it do? The idea would be, if you have to double C.D. Lamb, right, OBJ, much like last year with his Rams, becomes the beneficiary of it. But in addition to not knowing what OBJ is going to look like or play like or feel like, or, you know, like, look, when you're coming off your second ACL surgery, and it's not like you've had a preseason or ramp-up time, you're going to plug him in and he's going to go from 0 to 100 and play down the stretch and in the playoff games? Okay, it may work. But there's also the, if you put him in, that slides Michael Gallup down a spot. That cuts his reps or you know, his targets in half. And how does that fit in the – and look, if you want to win, you want more dudes, you need more help, there's somebody here to help, that's great. But I don't think people pay enough attention to the old adage of more is not more. Less is, in fact, more. Like, cliches are said way too many times, but oftentimes it's because they're true. When the going gets tough, the tough actually do get going. That's actually how it works. Total cliche to say, I understand. But more has never been more. Less is more. And yeah, no, look, and you can sit there and point out, hey, man, Von Miller, OBJ last year, got it. Right? It did work for the Rams. It may work for the Cowboys. But I thought that Dak, man, he avoided that landmine. He was so good at it. I might send a message, but the guys we have in this locker room, we got enough. He's the best. Coming up next, Donte Whitner is going to join us. He covers the Niners. He also played for Ohio State. I want to talk a little big game, Ohio State, Michigan. But feels like the Niners are now a Super Bowl, not just contender favorite sort of team. Right? They were a play away from getting there last year. You add Christian McCaffrey. You have Nick Bosa back fully healthy. Right? Last year it took him a season to kind of have the season to get going.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.